Welcome. In this final section of the review of data, we're going to finish up our analysis, part two of the analysis specifically, around our bike sharing data set. So if you remember from part one of the analysis, we were just looking at overall summaries, trying to figure out the difference between registered and casual users. We were also looking at extreme observations for both registered and casual users. And then we finished with looking at the trend of registered users over time and seeing improvements from 2011 to 2012. Now we have a couple more specific analyses to run. We've been asked to identify key probabilities around customers, specifically the probability of customers registered given that the season is fall, as well as the probability of customers a registered user given the season is summer, and then we're going to provide confidence intervals for both of those probabilities. So let's jump in and start looking at those. What you see here is a table of registered versus casual users per season. You'll notice the very, very top row has individual seasons that signify the columns: spring, summer, fall, and winter, as well as the total. The individual rows you see here are for registered as well as casual users. You can see that registered users is higher than casual users for every one of the months. That's not surprising based on the previous analysis that we've already done. However, what we need to do is answer a couple of conditional probabilities. Remember the idea of a conditional probability. Given a certain condition, what is the probability of something happening? The first question we were asked to look at was, given the fact that the season is fall, what's the probability that a user is a registered user? Okay, perfect. So we're going to isolate down just the fall season. So I've highlighted for you the fall column. So here we are only now dealing with 841,613 of our actual users. When looking at this, what we are looking at here, in the fall, if we were to randomly select any user from any single day, what is the probability that they were a registered user? Well, when looking at this, we can see that of the 841,613 users on any given day in the fall, 711,831 of them were registered users. So if we look at that, that leads us to about 84.6% chance, or a probability of 0.846. Again, the idea here being, if you were to just randomly select any user on any single day in the fall season, what's the probability you got a registered user? And that's what we're looking at. At least in the fall season, it's a rather high chance you're going to get a registered user. However, remember what we talked about when it came to interval estimates. We want to be able to provide some kind of wiggle room, some margin of error, to show how much belief we have in our numbers. So let's do that. Let's remind ourselves what the confidence interval is for proportions. Because that's what a probability is, right? It's a proportion. So we're going to be looking at our sample proportion. So we have our sample proportion estimate of 0.846. And if you remember when building a confidence interval, we have that test statistic on the left-hand side, our point estimate, plus or minus, we have the margin of error. That margin of error consists of the number that we pull from the normal distribution times the standard error of our statistic, p hat. The standard error of p hat was the square root of p hat times 1 minus p hat over the sample size. So now we have all of the numbers we would need. So we have, again, our point estimate, 0.846, plus or minus. Now, we're just going to build a 95% confidence interval. It didn't specify in the direction, so 95% is a reasonable number to go with. on a normal distribution, 95% would take the value of 1.96. Okay, so remember, it's about 2 standard deviations on either side of the mean will give us 95% of our data. So that's why you have your 1.96. So, okay, 0.846 plus or minus 1.96 times the square root of 0.846 times 1 minus 0.846, again, our sample proportions, divided by our sample size. Now, our sample size here, remember, we are completely contained in the fall, given that the season is fall. So we've subsetted our data down. So given our season is fall, we've isolated ourselves to just fall users. That's 841,613 individual instances of a user on a single day. We were to calculate all of that out, we would see we have 0.846 plus or minus 1.96 times 0.0004. Or in other words, if you wanted to report your number, you would have 0.846 plus or minus 0.0008. Now, I know what you're thinking. That doesn't seem like a lot of wiggle room. Well, you're exactly right. Look, we've looked at 841,000 people. We have a lot of confidence in this number. So there's not a lot of wiggle room around this number. Whereas if I had 0.846 plus or minus 0.1, that would show that I had a lot more wiggle room in this number. So notice how it looks like you have a lot more confidence in that 0.846 because that margin of error is so much tighter and smaller. Which again is intuitive based on the fact that we have such a large sample size that we're dealing with. Wonderful. Now let's do the exact same thing for summer. So the question was asked not only about fall customers, but also about summer customers. So let's isolate ourselves to the 1,061,129 individual users on a single day inside of the summer. With that being the case, if we were to randomly select an individual user on any given day in the summer, 835,038 of them were registered users out of the little over 1 million. If we were again to work out this proportion, we would get a smaller proportion than we had in the fall. Here we only see 78.7% of our users on any given day would be a registered user, or a probability of 0.787. Again, smaller than what we had in the fall, but let's build ourselves another interval estimate around this number. Luckily, it's the exact same equation as we had previously with slightly different numbers. Our statistic, our point estimate, has changed. It was 0.846 for fall customers, but here it's 0.787 for our summer customers. We still have plus or minus to add a little bit of wiggle room above and below. And we're still going to build a 95% confidence interval. So we still have that 1.96 here on our calculation. Then we're also going to, again, multiply this by the standard error, which would be the square root of, again, our point estimate, 0.787, times 1 minus that point estimate of 0.787, divided by our new sample size. We're not isolating ourselves to the fall anymore, we're isolating ourselves to the summer, where we had, again, 1,061,129 users on a given day. If you were to work out the math yet again, we would see all the way over on the right-hand side our point estimate of 0.787, plus or minus 0.0008. Again, we have a lot of confidence in this number due to the large sample size that we're dealing with here. So we can reasonably say that the summer and the fall have a certain proportion of customers that are registered as compared to casual. Now, not surprisingly, there are more registered users than casual, but it looks like in the fall there are even more registered users than casual compared to the summer. Wonderful. So we identified some key probabilities as well as some confidence intervals around them. Now let's work on the second half of part two. The customer's marketing division has also got preconceived notions on the average number of total users for the 2012 season as follows to help develop their marketing budgets. So we're only going to be looking at 2012 numbers, not 2011 and 2012. This would make sense considering the fact that it looks like our numbers are growing over time. So we're going to use the last year of our data to be able to get the most updated piece of information. So the preconceived notions are that the average number of daily users in the summer is no more than 6,500, and the average number of daily users in the fall is no less than 6,000. Well, what we need to do is validate those above claims using some statistical hypothesis tests that we talked about in the previous section. So remember, first step to any good hypothesis test, right, is to define your null and your alternative hypotheses. So it looks like the preconceived notion we've got going in is the average number of daily users in the summer is less than or equal to 6,500. They're saying, you know what, we don't think that it's any more than 6,500. That's what they're assuming going in. That's how they've made their marketing budgets in the past. We need to test if this is still true so we can update our marketing. So our alternative is going to be that there's more than 6,500 average users in a day in the summer so that we can make sure that we're not spending too little on marketing. All right. So if we were to look at 2012 alone and we were to look at our sample data, we would see that on average, the daily number of users in the summer of 2012 was 6,824. With a standard deviation of 913. Now, this is only 94 days. Again, there are 94 days in the summer of 2012. So perfect. So the question is, do we have enough evidence to say that that average of 6,824 is really bigger than our initial guess of 6,500? Now, yes, you can initially think, well, of course it's bigger. It's a bigger number. But is it big enough to where we believe that it's actually not 6,500? Remember, that 6,500 is just an average. So we could just get numbers that are higher than that just out of sheer luck. What we want to do is see if those numbers are truly higher than that. And that's what the hypothesis test is going to do for us. So when looking at our test statistic, if you remember from hypothesis testing, we have our test statistic, T, which is equal to X bar minus mu divided by S over the square root of N, and we can plug in our numbers. 6,824 minus 6,500 divided by 913 over the square root of our sample size, 94. This gives us a test statistic value of 3.44. Okay, well, that's helpful to a point, but the question is, what's the probability? What's the p-value of me getting a test statistic of 3.44? Well, let's take a look. If we were to go to our t-table, and again, there's a variety of ways of doing this. You can use computers, you can use your calculator. All of them have the ability to do this. I'm just going to look at the t-table directly. If you go to our t-table, you can see that we don't have a row for the 90s. Now, if we have a sample size of 94, our degrees of freedom would be our sample size minus 1, so that would be 93. But we don't have a 93 row, so let's just round it down to 90. So the goal is, looking on this 90 row, do you see the number 3.44? Not really. In fact, the largest number I've got is 3.402. So in other words, my evidence is so big, it doesn't even appear on my table. So let's see what probability, what p-value corresponds to the largest value I have on my table. Well, remember, we have a one-sided test. We're only looking to see if it's above 6,500. I don't care if it's below. And that leads a one-tailed p-value of 0.0001. 0.05. In other words, the chances of me seeing a sample the way I did with an average of 6,824, a standard deviation of 913, and me actually having a mean in my population still be 6,500 users per day or less on average, the probability of that actually happening is less than 0.0005. You know what? I don't know about you, but that just seems too rare for me. I no longer believe my initial hypothesis. I'm going to reject the null hypothesis. And so I believe we actually have more users on average than 6,500 users in the summer. We should adjust our marketing budgets accordingly. All right, so that's the first test. Let's take a look at the second test. Again, the preconceived notion here was the average number of daily users in the fall is greater than or equal to 6,000. So they're assuming that they have, on average, more than 6,000 users a day in the fall. So again, that's going to be our null hypothesis. That's what our working hypothesis is going into the situation. We need to test if it's less than that, again, to adjust our marketing budgets accordingly. So we can't collect a sample of data. Remember, we are only looking in the fall in 2012. And we can see the average number of users in the fall of 2012 was 5,792. However, the standard deviation was quite wide, 1,599. And there were only 89 days in the fall of 2012. Again, we can plug these same numbers into the test statistic calculation that we saw in the previous example. So we take our average from our sample, 5,792, minus off our original thought, 6,000, divide by our standard deviation, 1,599, over the square root of our sample size, 89, and we will get a negative 1.23. Definitely not as big of a number as we saw previously with 3.44. But what p-value does that give us? First things first, when looking at the t-table, you do not need to worry about negatives or positives in terms of your test statistic value. All you're looking for is just the absolute value of that test statistic. We're looking for the number 1.23. We don't care if it's negative or positive here. Why? Because we're only looking at one side of the distribution when looking in this table. Luckily, if you remember, the t distribution is perfectly symmetric, just like the normal distribution, so it doesn't matter what side of the distribution you look on, the area in the tail is going to be the same. So we're looking for 1.23 on our 90 row. Okay, well, I don't see the exact number of 1.23. But I do see the numbers 1.04 and 1.29. So I know that my number is in between those two numbers. So again, I don't know the exact p-value, but I know that it's in this range. So if I look up at the very top, I can see what p-values correspond to each of those numbers. So the 1.04 would be a p-value of 0.15. The 1.29 would be a p-value of 0.1. So in other words, I don't know what it is, but I know that the p-value is between 0.1 and 0.15 for my value of 1.23. In other words, there is between a 10 and 15% chance of us seeing the sample that we did underneath that null hypothesis. And if we were to use a significance level of 0.05, we would not reject this null hypothesis. I do not have enough evidence to say that the average number of daily users isn't greater than or equal to 6,000. Now, you may be thinking, well, hold on. I mean, the average that we looked at was 5,792. Yes, but it looks like that number is close enough to 6,000 where I don't believe that it's really below 6,000. I just happen to have a bad fall. And so that's what we're really looking at. okay, so it looks like we don't need to worry about changing marketing budgets for fall. However, we do need to change the marketing budgets when it comes to the actual summer. So that's some great recommendations we can make to the marketing department. Again, hopefully this has helped you see some of the value of what we can do with statistics. We can really show the impact to people about prior beliefs and really help them evaluate and make better decisions. So we've looked at the data, explored the data in the last lecture. Now we answered some more technical answers around the data in this lecture. So we've really hit this problem from all angles. And really we can help this company as well as the marketing division in this company make a lot better decisions using the data that we've collected. So that is the end of this lecture. That is the end of this section. And I look forward to seeing you in the next one.